Did I show you a picture of my Halloween decorations at my house yet?
You did not for this year. I know last year that you felt like you had some good things, but you definitely still felt like you didn't measure up to the competition. You know, you have neighbors that are pretty serious about this stuff.
Yeah. This year I went with this theme of spider house.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I created a very large spider web from the top of my house all the way down, like over my entranceway.
That sounds large.
And then I have a cocoon human hanging.
Good.
And large spiders on the house. Now, I think I still need more spiders on the house. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I'm looking for a 20-foot spider for the top of my house.
I think you're going to have to build that.
Yeah, I don't know how, but it seems like...
I have an idea.
How?
Foam. You got to use like pipe insulation, like they use for like air conditioning or your water pipes.
And just like spray paint
it's black. No, it's black. It's already black. Go right to Home Depot and it comes in 8-foot lengths. Imagine 8-foot legs for your spider.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it's a fantastic idea, actually, because I'm great.
Yeah. Hold on. You want to see what I've done so far?
Yeah. Let me see.
There you go. Look.
Wow.
I know. I'm working really hard on it.
What happens if it rains?
Well, I don't know. And I'm probably going to cry.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I mean, that's a lot of webbing.
But what you don't see is under the webbing, I also have ropes. Uh-huh. So it's ropes interweaved with it. So like in theory, it should survive it.
Yeah.
But actually, I'll put this picture up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven so you can see what I've done at Spider House.
I mean, you might need to replenish your spider web.
I have a lot. Yeah, I have. I bought a lot extra just in case, like, I need to jump out on a Wednesday afternoon and put some up.
That's good.
But I was looking at this study and it said the most popular Halloween decorations across the country.
Yeah.
Number one, skeletons. Okay. Always skeletons.
Skeletons rock, but they are pricey.
Yeah, they are. And I feel like they're sold out everywhere lately. Like, even Home Depot has been sold out of them.
Incidentally, cool that you have two spider skeletons on here.
My neighbor brought those over. My street is filled with people that are really into Halloween. And she saw that I was doing the spider thing. And she came over. She's like, here, I'm not using these this year. She has such a repertoire of Halloween stuff that she could bring me 2 5-foot giant skeleton spiders. Like, it's nothing.
As impressive as this looks, I mean, I'm still nervous about the fact that it appears that you have it tied to your house just by closing the window on it.
No. I bought a hook on Amazon that said very strong and had a lot of good reviews.
Okay.
So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two most popular decorations for Halloween in the country, pumpkins.
Okay.
And number three is spiders. Spider House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a multitude of real spiders around my shed right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I shine a light on it, they tend to go and hide because I try and kill them at night.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is kind of the same thing.
Okay.
Try the foam for the pipes. I'm telling you. Yeah, 8-foot spider. No problem.
If you have any other ideas on what I can add to my spider house, you can let me know in the comments on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. Yesterday, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp were all down for about 6 hours, and people collectively lost their minds.
Right. Like, how will we live? How will we go on?
What do you mean it's down?
What will happen here?
Let me just keep checking over and over and over for 6 hours.
Oh, it's amazing how many phone calls or messages I got yesterday that said, I think the internet is dead. I don't know what happened. I was like, no, man. It's just Messenger. It's just Facebook. It's just Instagram. It's not actually the entire internet. No.
But not to make light of the situation, because 3.5 billion people across the world were affected by this. And that includes Facebook security engineers. Their own engineers could not get into their emails. They couldn't get access to their own buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, Raven and I thought, Russians.
Yeah. I mean, they've been in everything around here, right? They've been all over. They're in corporate America trying to hack things. They want millions of dollars in ransom. I mean, at least this is what I'm being told by the internet, of course.
Right.
So I figured it was them.
Yeah. No, not so much. Here's a representative talking about it.
And they said that it's extremely unlikely that a hack would be able to have this kind of impact, that it would take down all these Facebook apps at the same time. What was a lot more likely and what seems to have happened was that it was an internal update rolled out by Facebook that just went very badly, and which it took them many, many hours to try and fix.
Right. And Facebook...
Are the servers in Russia?
I don't think so.
All right. Just asking for a friend.
I don't think we put servers in Russia.
Just asking for a friend. That's all I'm saying.
So Facebook issued like an official statement and basically said it was a, and I quote, faulty configuration change.
Oh, okay.
So
somebody unplugged something somewhere in the wrong spot.
Kind of.
And the entire world, half the world, 3.5 billion people are without service. All right.
But it was funny because one of the only social media apps that were working was Twitter. So everybody goes to Twitter, and all of a sudden what starts trending is, what if Facebook never came back?
Wow.
And it's like a world we never even thought of.
Right.
What would happen if Facebook never came back?
If Facebook never came back, your teenager would probably have time to mow the lawn and watch TV with the family again. Can you imagine that?
I think that would be more of Instagram. What if Instagram never came back? Because I think only people that use Facebook.
They were both dead, right?
If Facebook never came back, your mom wouldn't be able to accidentally share spam advertisements and then insist that she did no such thing when you tell her that she did it.
It's true.
100%.
If Facebook never came back, I mean, selfies probably wouldn't have been a thing. Think about all those people we could get back that fell off a cliff trying to get a photo next to a bear or something like that.
Terrible.
Right? Post envy wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. If Facebook never came back, I wouldn't know that my friend from high school son is getting his tonsils out and needs my prayers.
I'm right there with you.
Right.
Right. I wouldn't have to feel guilty about that same kid's birthday that I missed.
Oh my gosh, everybody. Johnny needs our prayers.
Right.
Get down on your knees.
If Facebook never came back, I'd need to read the paper to know which of my childhood acquaintances had been arrested or passed on.
Oh, that's terrible. That's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, but Raven, if Facebook never came back, and this is the saddest of them all, I wouldn't be able to see those memories that pop up from 10 years ago that remind me about how thin and well rested I was back then.
It's true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing to ourselves every day?
Mm.
Welcome back, Facebook. Thanks so much.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999.
And if your primary motivation while driving is not actually to get to where it is that you're going from point A to point B, but actually to just make sure that nobody else on the road passes you ever, that's all I need to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
Strangest thing, I'm in the, you know, and it's not shocking, of course, because you've seen all this nonsense behavior before, but you often have to say to yourself, what is going on in somebody's mind when they're doing something like this? So I'm in a line of cars in the left-hand lane, and it's not me that they're blocking, because I can already tell by the way that they're driving in front of me, the way that they sped up to get in front of me, and now they're slowing down and all this thing, that there's somebody that's kind of looking for a situation. I'm at a safe distance, two vehicles behind. The truck that is behind me is anxious, all right? He's up, he's close to me, he's got the big LED lights. Finally, he goes to pass me because there's room to pass not just myself, but the car that's in front of me too, and get back into the fast lane. And of course, when that truck gets over to the right-hand side and starts to pass, what does the person in front of me do, Anna?
Speeds up.
Of course they speed up.
Of course.
To the point, recklessly, where they're riding right up on the person that was so many car lengths in front of them, right on their rear, and blocking this other person because there's another car in the right lane now. They're just locking them into that lane.
Yeah.
So now you've got two people driving like idiots for no reason whatsoever at 6:30 on a Monday.
Yep.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, you know, I had the issue the other day where I was driving and they came up behind me and they flashed the high beams to like get out of the way.
Yeah.
And that makes me insane because I have a heavy foot.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I'm going,
you're going
fast
enough. Enough.
So then, you know, I pull over and I let them go because like I ain't got time for your nonsense.
Right.
I pull behind them and then they're going slower than I was going.
It's like, crazy.
Why did you flash me?
Yeah, they
why?
Do it all the time.
I don't know. That's all I need to know about you. People are nuts lately.
It is nuts.
Yeah. Raven, if you're considering firing your best friend's wedding planner, even though you have no authority to do so, that is all I need to know about you.
What's happening?
So my best friend Tina is getting married. I'm her matron of honor. She has hired a wedding planner who I believe in my heart has done absolutely nothing and has been paid way too much money for the fact that me and her have done everything.
There is a flip side of the coin with wedding planners. There's a good and there's a bad.
Yep.
Continue on. Tell me.
So I said to her, I go, hey, you know, this girl who you're spending a lot of money on should probably do something.
Right.
So she calls me the other day and she's like, oh, she just proposed the seating arrangements. I go, fantastic. All right, great. I go, well, what does it look like? And she goes, she thinks that we should have like a head table, the long table where we all, you know, sit and we face out to the guests.
Kind of dated.
I go, what? She's like, yeah. I go, but how many of us would be at that head table? Because we're a big wedding party, you know?
Sure.
And she's like, 30. I go, you want a head table of 30 people all sitting in a row.
It's like, what? How long is that table going to be? Like 30 yards?
Half the people are going to be sitting like on the terrace outside on the deck.
Yeah, and I love it. When you're the matron of honor or whatever, you got to get up and go pee. Like, you got to jog to get past around the table
to get
there.
You can't leave. You're trapped behind the head table. Yeah. I go, nobody's done that since 1987. I go, absolutely not. I go, and then fire her. And she was like, I can't fire her. She's really nice.
Yeah, no. She can't fire her because she's got a rock solid contract.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Every wedding vendor has a rock solid contract.
You got 140 people at your wedding, but 30 are going to sit at one table facing everybody else. Does that make any sense?
There's nothing worse than somebody trying to justify their salary in the last 2 weeks before an event when they were hired 18 months ago. It's rough. Good luck.
That's all I need to know about you. So, Raven, did the price actually come in yet or not yet?
I have not received the email yet. I got to check my spam filter in just a minute here, but I am still waiting at this moment.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it was on Friday, so I'm imagining that. I mean, it should have been here by now. If I don't hear from him by this afternoon when I get home and I have to call or send him an email, then things could get awkward.
Well, things are going to get awkward, period, because Raven had like a contractor guy come to his house to do work, but the guy had a negotiation tool that I can't even imagine was so intimidating to you.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. So we're getting a mini split system AC put in my house here, and it's expensive, obviously. So you want to get multiple quotes. You want to talk to different people. And I've reached out to friends and different people that I know to come through. This is an established company that we already kind of do business with already. So he comes in and he's very informed, but he's got this stellar mustache. I'm telling you, this thing is like, I mean, it's legit. All right. It's a half inch thick. It covers his entire mouth. He's got kind of the beard behind it, but the mustache is clearly the focal point of it. Mm-hmm. And every time I ask questions, and you have to ask questions, of course, when you have a contractor come over your house, you don't want to sound like some dope. You've got to, you know, try and get to the best value for your house. Every time I would ask him a question, he would furrow and move the mustache in a way that said to me he was considering it, but it would also be like an extension of his emotional feelings on his face.
Right.
So, you know, like eyebrows and stuff, you move them and up and down and so forth, and people can, you know, kind of get emotions with that. The mustache was like an extension of his eyebrows in that way.
So he's just wiggling his mustache.
He would roll it every time I asked him. And then here's the question. Can you eye roll with your mustache? Because sometimes I would ask a question and immediately before he answered it, based on the movement of said mustache, I would know that he thought I was stupid.
Right.
Instantly, I knew that.
He was using his mustache as a negotiation tool, trying to read you, and you were so entranced in the way he moved his mouth with the hair on it.
It was all I could see after a while. Yeah. It was kind of like watching a musical and the guy had the cane and the top hat and he was just moving it there, you know, as he was dancing in front of me answering these questions.
Wow.
I don't know what that number could be. It could be anything.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I heard you guys talk about mustaches. So I have a very thick mustache and I grew up that way on purpose because I really like firmly believe the thicker the mustache, the more intimidating it is. You know, like a good old Hulk Hogan stash.
Mm. Mm. Well, Hulk Hogan wouldn't be the name that I would drop because I mean, he's had some tough times where we don't look to him as the toughest anymore over the last decade or so. That video was not flattering. But your mustache, it's like the silverback gorilla, Anna. All right. So the silverback gorilla, super hairy on the back, and it's all silver. And the bigger that hair is, it's like a lion's mane that signifies power. Same thing with a mustache, Wilford Brimley.
I'm not a fan of the mustache at all, but I certainly would never be intimidated by it. Never. I'm like, oh, that guy's got a mustache.
Let me give you some names here. Sam Elliott. Oh, girl, you pushing back a little bit. Tom Selleck?
Nope, not
interested. Oh, come on. No, don't you lie to me. Charles Bronson. Thinner, but definitely still, you can see it
really
in his face.
Not really intimidating, though.
Sir, I agree with you. I believe you.
That's why the guy has a mustache, to intimidate you, and he's going to give you a real high
it
price
worked.
Quote. Yeah.
I may have just peed a little bit.
Producer Sean here has a thick mustache. He had a handlebar mustache for a really long time.
Yeah, it had good shape, good meat. Yeah, it's got good girth.
Yeah, and then he mentioned something that people do whenever they see him in his mustache, and I found it very, very strange. It's coming up next. Raven's contractor came to give him a price quote, and he had such a thick mustache that he was using it as an intimidation tool.
It was like an extension of his eyebrows. I could read every one of his emotions before he actually spoke. Before he opened his mouth, even with the mustache. When I asked a question, I knew if it was a good question, he would consider, he would furl one corner of the mustache and answer. Mm-hmm. If I asked a dumb question, he would eye roll with his mustache.
Talent right there.
It was crazy. It was weird. I don't even know if he could stop it if he wanted to.
Yeah. Producer Sean, how old are you?
32.
For a 32-year-old, you have the thickest mustache I've ever seen in my entire life.
I don't know if that's a compliment or
It's true. He does look like one of those old-timey strong men with just the the straight Brillo pad mustache on there, right? It's like a sweeper, a broom even.
Yeah. You, at one point, you had a full handlebar mustache, and I couldn't understand why. What attracted you to having a mustache?
Funny story is I never liked mustaches growing up. One day, probably early 20s, I got bored, didn't feel like shaving, and I noticed it grows in like a handlebar. I don't need to put anything in it. It grows in that way. And I was like, that's too cool to not let it do its thing.
He had to embrace it.
And he's been doing it for years.
He had a gift. Who is he to deny the world his gift?
So do you ever think that your mustache can be used as an intimidation tool?
Yes and no. I never thought of it that way. But I have had people tell me that I'm more intimidating with my mustache and like a beard than I am without it.
What do you use it mostly for?
I do like to just sit there and like an evil genius. Yeah. Just sit there and twirl.
I've seen
the
you
end
do
of
that.
And,
yeah, no, I've seen you do that.
Like I'm deep in thought. Right. Probably the best thing to do. Right.
What are the rules when it comes to your mustache?
Oh, eating's a big one.
Okay.
There's a lot of things I will not eat if I'm out in public because of this thing.
Like what?
Eggs, wings, like anything messy, you know? It's just, it's not fun to clean. Not
milkshake.
Fun to, no, that's a home thing.
Right? You can only eat that at home.
Cereal, right?
But what do people ask you to do? Because when you mention this to me, I'm like, who are these people?
People walk up to me and ask me, strangers, complete strangers, if they could twirl the ends of my mustache. I've had people not even ask me. I've had strangers just walk up to me, reach out to my face, and grab my mustache and go, oh, it's real.
What?
I'm like, what are you doing? Who walks up to a stranger and starts touching their face?
Oh, my God.
They want the sensation of twirling it themselves, but they don't want to put in the power and the work that it takes to, you know, to grow this thing.
Right? I guess. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Listen, not to be egotistical, but I think I have probably one of the best mustaches around. And, you know, I heard you don't find mustaches attractive, but I want to challenge you here. I'm going to say 9 out of 10 women find my mustache very attractive.
9 out of 10
That's
sounds
high.
Crazy.
That's
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10 sounds crazy. I mean, at a certain moment in time, I would have gave you 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. Maybe 7. Maybe even 7.
No.
During the 70s, over the last couple of years, guys were growing their hair long.
Yeah.
You know, little mustache action. But
no, there is
but
a
9
difference.
Out of 10 is crazy.
Yeah, there's a difference between a little, like... a beard, and then the mustache kind of just goes along with it, and just a straight mustache and nothing else.
Yours is a straight mustache, sure. It's just the mustache?
That's right.
But I bet you there's a division of women that just, there's a certain amount where they're just like, the mustache is it.
I mean, these are the years for the mustache.
Oh, okay.
These are the years.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Really My late father would have argued that, again, 78 was pretty good, 77 was pretty good. But, you know.
That's true.
Right. Yep. But in our lifetime, you might be
we're
right.
We're trying to make them proud.
Right.
Burt Reynolds salutes you, sir.
Producer Sean, do me a favor.
Yes.
Take a picture of your mustache, put it up on our Instagram right now at Anna and Raven and Facebook at Anna and Raven, and just do a poll. Do women find this attractive? And let's just see what happens.
Okay. Seems hurtful if it doesn't go his way.
Well, let's just see. 1-800-330-9999. Where do you hide your money? Like, where do you stash it in your house? You know, not like a bank, but like when you have it around the house.
Hmm.
Pandora Papers has been trending over the last few days with these huge names attached to it, like Shakira, Elton John, Ringo Starr. There's athletes, politicians, and overall just really, really rich people.
What are the Pandora Papers? Are people interested in that jewelry?
No.
No?
So in a
Got
dummy,
nothing to do with that.
Yeah, nothing to do with Pandora Jewelers. In a dummy down explanation, which is honestly all I can handle
right.
when it comes to things like this, it's a huge group of investigative journalists that were coalitioned to work together. And what they did is they leaked 12 million documents that showed where rich people across the world were hiding their money.
I mean, does that feel legal?
Yeah.
It seems wrong.
It is wrong, but they did it. And there's these places that are called tax havens. And if you're not familiar with a tax haven,
right.
it's usually a country where these super rich people transfer their money so they don't have to pay taxes to the country where they earned that money.
You know, I mean, frankly, sounds kind of brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to, you know, just tear people down because they did something smart with their money to protect it, because taxation is not fun.
So some of the Pandora Papers show legal things. I think a lot of Shakira's stuff is legal. But then,
because we like her.
Because we like her. You know, right. her hips don't lie.
She's a great dancer.
Her money doesn't lie.
Right, her hips don't lie. Her accountant might, but her hips don't. Right.
But a lot of it is also illegal. They have copies of, like, passports and bank statements and things that are not so great either. So that's why it's been all over the news.
If you make your money one place, chances are, before you ship it off to another place, they're going to want a piece.
Right.
Right.
So maybe you're not Shakira and you don't have a net worth of $350 million.
Wow, is that what Shakira's worth?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And you don't hide your money in the Cayman Islands, but you still need to hide your cash. You know, everybody's got that envelope around the house somewhere that's got the money in it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you hide your cash?
So, you know, it's funny because the older I get, the more I see that, you know, our grandparents weren't crazy. When you find envelopes in, you know, different areas, or they say check the couch cushions. Like, I see that now that I'm older, because you want to be, I pride myself in being random. I have a safe. Plenty of stuff goes in the safe. I used to utilize the refrigerator. Here's the thing that I do now is that the safe key itself, because it's not a combination, it's a key.
Yeah.
The key itself is what I hide. And I change that and move it to different places. Sometimes I forget. For a long time, the tampon box was a good place to shove the safe key.
Okay.
Nobody wants to go in the tampon box.
Well, except your wife.
You broke into my house? Oh, let me make sure that I ruffle through the tampons?
Right.
You know. Doesn't seem likely, right?
It is smart.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about it. And
now I got to move it today, though.
Now you got to take it out of the tampons.
People know where I live.
Yeah. All right. I was thinking about it because I don't hide cash around my house. But the funny part is that Hayden, my 12-year-old, she is so good at saving money that, like, I know where she hides her money so that it... Right. If I need like a 20 and I don't have any
cash, you borrow it from her.
I got to run and get a quick manicure and I don't have time to go to the bank for whatever reason because it's cash tip only. I just go right in. I leave her a little IOU on a post-it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what happens when the zombie apocalypse comes and you need that money to survive?
Do they accept IOUs written on post-its?
Probably not.
On our text line at 1-800-330-9999, they write, I don't hide my money. It's in a 5-gallon water jug in my bedroom, but you have to get past 3 pit bulls to get it.
Yeah.
Remember the big water jug? It's like, but it's all in coins, right? You just put all the coins in there. That's wacky.
Here's the thing. And with a 5-gallon jug, I always know. So, I mean, if that's a clear, like, piggy bank style one that they're doing, that's fine. But sometimes they have, like, the buckets that you get at, like, Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever. If you ever see one of those buckets with a cap on it, there's something nefarious inside that bucket. All right? You don't put a cap on those type of buckets unless you're hauling something in there. I knew a guy years and years ago was kind of like, it was a little bit of smuggling. All right.
Okay.
I guess there's not another word for it. I guess smuggling would be the word, and that's what he would keep the stuff in.
1-800-330-9999. We want to know, where do you hide your cash around your house? It's been trending the last few days, these Pandora Papers. And if you're not familiar with what that is, it's the largest leak, 12 million documents that show where all these super rich people and celebrities hide their money offshore. These tax havens.
Yeah.
And there's big names, Shakira, Elton John, Ringo Starr, huge people.
I don't have millions and millions of dollars, but I keep cash stashed in various areas. Mm-hmm. I've got some in my bag. I've got some in the safe. I've got some in my nightstand. Those aren't great hiding places. I used to put it in my freezer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that the first place you look? I feel like everybody puts money in their freezer.
Oh, no. You got to put it like inside a TV dinner box.
Oh, there we
go. You just can't have it like in a Ziploc bag looking like money.
Yeah. Hi. It's Anna and Raven. Where do you stash your cash?
In our junk drawer.
But how much do you put in your junk drawer?
Yeah. Like, how do you hide it in there, right? Like, is it in an envelope? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's in an envelope. We know it's labeled. We know it, but nobody else knows it. And it's like a good amount of money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you label it something else?
Yeah, it's
beer money.
Just a colored envelope.
Right.
You know, like we know, but nobody else really.
Right. Okay.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
We label it like what do you got? Like medical documents.
Fake money. Right. Really, like stuff you don't want to see.
$10,000.
Pictures of my naked mother-in-law. You know, whatever it may be. Right. Crime scene photos.
Oh, man.
Whatever. Right. Yeah. Something that people don't want to look at.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where do you hide your money?
So I actually hide my money in my car. I kind of have like a little envelope and I have an SUV. and I have like a little compartment in the back. These days, it's the best place, you know, for me to have some cash, you know, because who knows what's going to happen. And I've got it hidden well enough, so if somebody did break in my car, they're not going to find it. But it's just, I find it super helpful to have it kind of on me, you know.
But what if they steal your whole car?
Well, I mean, sooner or later, you usually get the car back. It's just not in good shape.
Bigger problems.
I guess that's true. Yeah, you make a good point.
In my neighborhood, yeah, car thefts are so rampant. Like, they'll take the car if they can, but if it's hidden in a good enough spot, I guess that makes sense, right? Because you don't know where the zombie apocalypse is going to kick off. I mean, you could be at work. You might not be able to get home.
It's true.
Right? So now you got an escape route, got a little bit of cash in there. Not very convenient when you forgot your wallet, though, and you're at the drive-thru. Hold on! Just going to put it in park and climb over the next three rows of seats, and then I got to remove the spare tire and get the crowbar. But then I got it. I got your money. Don't worry. Right. Not convenient for that, but I get it. Not a terrible idea.
Everybody's been talking about these Pandora Papers, which, if you're not familiar with it, it was when a bunch of journalists came together and they leaked 12 million documents that showed where all these celebrities, athletes, politicians, basically really rich people, hide their money overseas in these tax havens.
I'm not going to lie. It feels like an invasion of privacy. Like, I'm not an investigator. I don't need to know where you're hiding your cash. But for regular people around the house, I'm curious.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. Maybe you don't have millions and billions of dollars, but you still hide your cash. Like, in your family room or somewhere, right?
Yeah, I've got envelopes. I've got one in the kitchen cart. I've got one in the bathroom. I got one in my nightstand. I got envelopes. I got some envelopes.
So where do you hide your money? 1-800-330-9999. Anne on Raven.
Hi, Anne on Raven. I personally would probably do a bunch of different places, such as your car, home, and you can never be too safe, you know?
You spread it out everywhere. You got a 20 under your pillowcase. You got a 20 behind the toilet.
It is why I have four bank accounts.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
You have four bank accounts?
Four bank accounts.
That is so weird.
I thought so.
Yeah, no, I have four.
How do you keep track? How do you keep $40 in each one?
You know, here's the thing. I don't keep track out of all of them. That way I have money places that I forgot about. And then I'm like, oh, wait, right. I have money over here.
But this is like when my father-in-law passed away, this was the problem because like he did that too. And we didn't know. We didn't know how to access any of it. I hope Alicia knows where all this money is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she has the codes.
Yeah.
She'll probably forget, though.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where do you hide your cash?
I hide my cash in an old coat pocket.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Right.
Problem is that if somebody comes over when you're not home and borrows that coat.
Who does that? Who's going to walk into your house and borrow your coat?
Random crazy things happen. Mm. Maybe your spouse is like, oh, it's chilly out. Borrow this coat. She never wears that. Oh, it's worth
$33,000. Believe me, it's such an old coat. I don't think anybody would want to wear it at this point.
That's what you think.
You.
And then all of a sudden it's in the donation box. Oh.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where do you hide your money?
Well, I hide my money in the Christmas decorations. I have an envelope that's filled with cash and I just, you know, stash it in the box with the decorations. So it works because then each year, you know, I can take out the money and use it to buy gifts.
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of this random stuff. Random places. I do the same thing with my passwords. I always go with something completely random. I just look around a room that I'm in and take a word from that or something else. Because when it's random, it can't be predictable. Nobody's going to think to look in your Christmas decorations. That's smart.
Yeah, until right now when the thieves are listening and then we're just giving away all the secrets.
Yes, now they have to just search every house in America.
And look for their Christmas decorations.
Yeah, between now and then, though, you probably have time to move it.
Right.
And I'll update my passwords.
Yep. Thank you for the call.
And Ann Raven, where do you hide your money?
This is going to sound kind of weird. I hollowed out the center of a dictionary, and I keep cash in there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I had a hollowed out book before. I used to keep a pair of brass knuckles in there.
Really?
Yeah, and a cigarette lighter before my mom knew I had some cigarettes.
You were seven, Raven.
Well,
that's why. It was
I mean, I still knew how to hollow out a book.
Yeah.
I made those brass knuckles. They were awesome.
One of my girlfriends lost her father recently. We were talking about it, and her mom told her, like, we can't just throw things away. We need to go through absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she found an envelope in a book filled with cash. When you just, like, go through a book, you flip through the pages and hold it upside down, and it just fell out. I very easily would have donated those books to the library or to Goodwill and not thought anything of it if she didn't tell me that I have to look through absolutely everything.
You got to check the couch. You got to check everything.
Yeah.
Put stuff in the craziest places.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. 1-800-330-9999. Do you think your house is haunted? What happened to make you think that? So last week, it was in the news that the house that inspired the horror movie The Conjuring had hit the market for $1.2 million. It's in Rhode Island. And I wondered, who would want to live in a house that was haunted? Like, it's one thing if you buy that house knowing perfectly well what you're getting into. But then another story came out, and these poor people had no idea what they were buying. A couple bought a house outside of D.C., without knowing that there was an alleged case of possession there. It's the house that inspired the movie The Exorcist. Here they are talking about it.
When our realtor called us and told us we got it, I Googled it, and that I think I screamed.
I think we definitely looked up whether or not, like, a prior possession was an escape cause from a house under contract and realized that it wasn't.
I mean, I feel like that should be, FYI.
How do you not Google it until the moment that they call you and say that they got it?
If you don't, I'm not into horror movies. I'm not into horror movies whatsoever. So, like, if I just saw a house and I liked it, I wouldn't, unless somebody told me, my realtor tipped me off, like, FYI, this is the movie from The Exorcist, I don't think I would know either. So this woman did her research, watched the movie, read a bunch of, like, stories, documentaries.
Yeah, good idea. Be like, I recognize that hutch right there, right after her head spins around backwards.
And she said this.
Thinking about it and thinking about how it was a demonic possession was like, well, demons don't usually attach themselves to houses. And, you know, my house has odds of a demonic possession that are just as equal as anybody else's house.
Because demons attach themselves to people, not places.
Yeah, well, after you spend $1 million, you better come up with some rationale to let you keep living there, right?
Some places just are haunted and weird things happen in those houses.
No question.
1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, your house haunted?
For me, it's the dogs. Like, they're always, like, barking at things. They're, like, always sniffing at the corners of the house, and but I don't know why, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's food in the corner, or I'm not sure what's going on and why they would be doing that, because there's no squirrels or anything. So there's makes me think that, like, maybe they're seeing something that I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, feeling something. I don't know. It really creeps me out.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I do think that animals see things. I think animals, and I think small children see things that the rest of us don't see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least sensing something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Something that makes them uncomfortable, I guess.
I remember one time my niece, when she was really little, she was sitting in a corner and she was smiling and she was singing happy birthday. My sister asked her, who are you singing happy birthday to? And she said, no, like my no in heaven, her grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like right around that time. And that was weird.
How little was she?
Probably like under two, year and a half, almost two.
She could have been saying, no, don't interrupt me.
No.
She could have said that.
No.
But okay,
there's a clear difference.
All right.
1-800-330-9999. What happened that you think your house is haunted? Last week, the house that was the inspiration for The Conjuring went on the market. And this week, a couple bought the house that was the inspiration for The Exorcist by accident. They had no idea what they were getting into. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
So my house is definitely haunted. Before I moved in with my boyfriend and his family, they told me that there is a ghost that lives there. And I said, yeah, okay. And there was one night where I guess I saw her. He referenced her as Rachel. And I said, oh, like, does she wear all white and have long, like, dark brown curly hair? And they're like, yeah, how'd she go? And I was like, I think I saw her. He did research on it from a historian, and there's a woman named Juliana Lockwood that died in the 1800s. On our block in her mid-20s.
And it's her? She just chills at your house? She just hangs out there like it's no big deal. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened at your house that makes you think it's haunted?
Well, my daughter and son share a room, and it's always been creepy to me, always. Well, one night on the baby monitor, I'm watching and I see something in the crib. It's like, it looks like it has eyes, its mouth is moving, my best friend is there, and she's like, why are you staring at that? And she looks at it, she goes, oh my gosh, she goes in there, she starts shaking stuff around in the crib, and it moved to the crib railing. So whatever that was, I never go in that room now.
Oh, my gosh.
But your children are still in that room.
You put yourselves to bed.
No, they sleep with me.
For the rest of their lives. They can't go in their room because there's a demon in there.
No, we don't go in that room. And they say that demons do attach to houses, but somebody said there's a spirit attached to my daughter, that it's her grandmother. But still, whatever that was not a grandmother.
Oh, my gosh.
Bye.
I mean, you have to move at that point, right? You move.
Yeah, because if not, sooner or later, the house is going to burn down.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why do you think your house is haunted?
Well, my house was haunted. We would leave every day, and the doors of every closet would be open, and then we'd come back, and all the doors would be closed, and then we'd leave the house with all the lights off. We'd drive around the corner. We'd come home, and all the lights would be on. And my three-year-old would play with two little boys named Mickey and Bobby, and he said that they were flying around his room looking for their mom.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Oh.
Yeah. See you later.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, pack it up. We're out of here.
Yeah. Bye. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why do you think your house is haunted?
Oh, it was. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I bought a house. The day of the closing, the real estate agent said something about what had happened in the house, and they didn't really say anything. And I said to my husband, what are they talking about? So we didn't think twice about it. And we got home, and the little girls up the street came up, and they said, gave us their names, and they said, our parents told us not to talk about what happened here.
So what happened?
Oh, my God. What did we just do?
Right.
So there were two murders in the house.
Oh, my gosh.
So for the first year, stuff that happened was one day my husband and I were on the deck. It was raining. My son was two in the crib, and we had all those little magnetic alphabet letters on the refrigerator. And we came back in the house, and they were all over the floor. I didn't know what to do. And then we looked at each other, and we just let it go, put them all back up. And the next week, my husband and my son, my older son, opened the refrigerator, and the pickles were spinning around in the pickle jar.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
you give up. You give up at that point. You have to give up.
Or you eat the pickle.
Like,
did you ever see Poltergeist when he drinks the tequila and the worm?
No.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a demon worm.
Oh, my gosh. House from The Conjuring just went on the market, $1.2 million. Would you want to buy a house that was possessed? How about this poor couple? They bought the house that inspired The Exorcist. They didn't even know until after they already had signed contracts on the place.
I spent a good amount of time in a house that burned down on 666, June 6, 2006. In that house, it was hundreds of years old. It was a post office, dentist's office, town hall at one time. You would hear footsteps every day and voices in the attic at night. It was very scary. 666, it burned down. To the ground.
1-800-330-9999. What happened that you think your house is haunted?
My TV keeps changing channels. I don't know what is going on, but it's not just that it keeps changing channels. It keeps going to this channel that always has cartoons on.
It's wacky.
Are you sure it's just not your kids messing with you?
No, this is a common thing. Do you have kids?
I have a four-year-old, but
He's not.
He's too young to be mischievous like that.
Yeah, he doesn't have the remote skills down yet. It's a common thing. They would always say that spirits, they can go through electronics. Anything with electricity, they can kind of go through there. I had a TV. Well, in an old apartment, it wasn't my TV. It was a roommate's TV. Same thing. Used to always change channels, and it would turn itself off and on. On was the freaky part.
Off is one thing, you're like,
oh, man, your TV's, it's old or it's whack or whatever. But on was the freaky part, man.
That actually is pretty freaky.
Yeah. You'd be downstairs, and you'd hear it turn on.
I just can't imagine, you're watching the game. You're all in there. You got a beer in your hand, and all of a sudden, the channel flips, and you're watching, Bluey,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you're more annoyed at that point than you are creeped out by it.
Right.
But I'm telling you, when you're home alone,
that's
and
scary.
You're downstairs
100%.
And you hear the TV go on.
Yep.
I'm going out.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why is your house haunted?
Well, I think our house is haunted because every night we set the thermostat and then the temperature somehow drops and it gets cold at night. Even if it's warm outside, there's no way to explain it. And the thermostat still says the same thing. And, I mean, there's no other way to explain this. I really think it must be haunted.
Huh.
Cold areas, right? That's what they say. They also say that about drafts.
Well,
an energized audit, where the guys from the power company come out and they caulk around your windows and stuff like that. Maybe that might help.
I have hot flashes, but I don't blame the ghost for that. I blame aging and,
I was going to say your husband.
Well,
I know it's not scientifically his fault, but usually in a relationship, you blame the other person.
Yeah, I guess so. It's probably his fault, too. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why do you think your house is haunted?
So I know that this is going to sound crazy, right? But a ghost slapped me.
What?
Wait a minute. What?
Yes. No, I'm very aware of how this sounds. I'm not someone that believes in that kind of stuff. until this happened, but I was dead asleep, right? I'm a super sound sleeper. I woke up to this loud slapping sound and this searing pain on my cheek. And then I didn't know what happened. So I went over to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. My whole cheek was red.
Oh, man. My gosh.
Like, and it almost looked like a handprint.
A ghost slapped him.
I mean, do you have like an ex that passed early? Is your mother still with us, sir? Because if not, like, who would have the explanation? Who would have the reason to be slapping your face as a haunting?
You're lucky, sir, because I always hear those stories about people that get assaulted like by ghosts and not just slapped. Like, like other things happen to
them.
Did
that ghost kiss you, sir? did that ghost make out with you? Did you ever hear about Nick Cannon? Nick Cannon had a problem with a ghost. Well, I mean, some people would say it's a problem. Some people would. That's the only ghost that never hit him for paternity.
Mm-hmm. Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Ben and Katie. Katie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, I scheduled a closing for our house for next week. The problem is, I didn't realize at the time that we're actually in Mercury retrograde. So that's a problem. You know, when it comes to that, everybody knows that contracts get messed up and computers and everything just gets messed up during Mercury retrograde. So, I mean, everybody knows that. So I want to push the closing back to the end of October. I think that then it'll go smoothly. I think it's really important to reschedule. Considering this.
And Ben, I'm going to assume that you don't agree with your wife.
How about the buyers?
I definitely don't. Listen, Katie, I love you. I love our relationship. I adore my wife. She is excellent. She's great. However, this sounds a bit crazy. Okay. And when she was saying that, like, oh, everyone knows that retrograde is a problem and blah, blah, blah. No. No one knows that because no one thinks that because it's really, really stupid. Like, no offense.
Everyone knows.
Katie, listen, Halloween is coming up. The holidays are coming up. We really need to make sure that the buyer is going to be here. And I don't want to have a conversation with them being like, hey, listen, I know that we talked about getting the house on this day. How about we push it back 2 weeks? And they're going to ask why. And I'm not going to know what to say. So I don't want to be in that situation.
Wait a minute,
so
Ben.
Don't put me in that situation.
You don't feel comfortable explaining to the buyers that we're in Mercury retrograde?
Well, it's a big subject, Anna. Does he know any astronauts? Does he have an astrologer friend that can explain it? I get what you're saying. I mean, sometimes you just don't want to screw things up. So I kind of get that, Katie. Like, you don't want to, you know, it looks good. You want to keep it good, so you don't want to screw it up. So let's just dot all our I's, cross our T's by picking the right day. Anna's got a weird thing about odd numbers, but my wife blames Mercury retrograde for the DVR not working. I mean, this is, you know, the sale of your house. This is a huge deal. Many moving parts. And if I was you, I would just, you know, do it on the day that the banking is ready.
Do you guys actually believe this stuff?
No. I don't. And I'll, as a realtor, I'll never forget. For years, I was a realtor before I was on the air. And I remember I had a great deal put together. And then the buyer brought her feng shui master.
Yes.
Who did not like the energy of the house. This was like the 30th house I had shown her. And she backed out of the deal. And I had to go back to my buyers and explain to them that the feng shui of their condo was wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why we had lost the sale.
It fell apart.
Right. I think that you have a good buyer. It sounds insane to me, but maybe I'm wrong.
Let's ask our audience what they think. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Should you delay the sale of your house for Mercury retrograde? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Ben and Katie are selling their home. When they scheduled the closing months ago, they didn't realize that, well, I should say Katie. Katie did not realize that it was going to be during Mercury retrograde, which is happening right now. This is the last Mercury retrograde. If you're not familiar with what that is, astrologers say that this is when all bad things happen with electronics and contracts and all that.
Oh, my gosh.
She says, what's the big deal? We delay it 2 weeks. It's no big deal. A week and a half, the buyers will be fine. Her husband, Ben, doesn't agree.
I mean, first off, she has no ideas whether or not the buyers will be fine. All right? She's just assuming that, well, let's mention to them that it's Mercury retrograde. And maybe they'll want to wait too. You know, Anna, when it comes to a closing on a house, it's a tense time. There are a lot of things in the balance moving left and right. The thing is, when the deal is actually ready to get it done, Get it done.
Man, when you get that clear to close,
get
run.
Get it done. Because how many times do you have a closing date and they call you 2 days before and say, no, we got to bump it a few days anyways because they're not ready?
What do you think? Would you stall a closing because of Mercury retrograde? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Definitely his side. That is hysterical.
You know, I understand what you're saying because I think it's so foreign and crazy to me. But I have a friend, Lisa, who I adore, who's probably listening right now. And she is one of the most intellectual, smart marketing executive I have ever met in my entire life. And she believes it. She believes that it shouldn't have deals made during Mercury retrograde. She pushes big decisions for her company outside of it.
I can't
all
believe
of it
this.
She's got like crystals to tell her things.
Oh, come on.
I
no,
swear.
No, if
I
you
swear.
Resort to crystals, no, no, no. If you're not an elf and you're asking crystals, there's an issue. Thank you for your vote, ma'am.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. On our text line, someone suggests to tell her to show up to the closing, sprinkle sage on the table, and then sign the papers.
I think you're supposed to burn the sage. You're supposed to burn the sage. It's called a smudging, and I'm familiar with it. Right. Bring a native with you, all right? And have them, you know, do chants around the building and bless the area. Why not?
Ben and Katie have a closing that are scheduled. They scheduled it months ago. Now, here's the problem. When they scheduled the closing for their home, Katie did not realize that we were going to be a Mercury retrograde. This is the last Mercury retrograde of the year.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
If you're not familiar with it, that's when, according to astrologers, that's when contracts go wrong, electronics fail, and everything kind of, the communication ends, essentially, is what it says.
I just want to state, you're all in the room. You're using a ballpoint pen. Mm. Once you put the ink to paper, no matter what happens with the wiring,
yeah.
All right, it's the done deal.
Raven, you can't try to understand Mercury retrograde. You just have to accept it.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, dare I try and stop it, mm-hmm. Right?
But Ben, on the other hand, says, how are we going to tell the buyers that we're going to stall the closing that we've already put off for 3.5 months because of Mercury retrograde? That's not real.
Fair question.
Yeah.
Fair question.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Oh, definitely. I'm on her side. It doesn't matter why she wants to delay the closing. He should be supportive of her. But seriously, if you look at it from the buyer's standpoint, the later in the month they close, the smaller their closing costs. Less taxes have to be set aside. But honestly, he should just be supporting his wife.
I mean,
doesn't
not
matter why.
But what if they have nowhere to live?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, what if they closed on their house, they left their house, and they want to move in there? I mean, because I've been in the middle of a house closing where it was literally the margins that close.
Yeah, I stayed in a hotel for 3 days. I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for the call. Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side because I actually just had this happen to me. I'm renting an apartment, and the owner actually texted me and was like, hey, do you want to wait until November? And I didn't understand why. And it turned out every time she wrote the contract, it would delete on the computer.
I mean, so she couldn't figure out a file on her computer. And so because of that, you felt that the deal was cursed. And so you had to wait?
We are waiting. And it's still mine. But we're waiting because of it. And we can't figure out why. We had all these issues with, like, us texting each other. And she was like, you know what? Let's just wait a couple weeks.
Yeah. I hope you get that place. I do.
Mercury retrograde screws up computers all the time. Everybody knows that, Raven. That's why the contracts won't go through. She can't figure out the Word document.
Thank you for the call.
People believe this, Raven.
This
they believe
is insane.
It. People believe it.
This is insane.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I definitely think you should ignore the Mercury astrology BS and make your money and do what you got to do. You cannot follow the astrology in any way, shape, or form.
Here's the thing. When the money's on the table, somebody's going to pick it up. If it's supposed to be you, you better pick it up immediately. Because if not, that money disappears.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ben, our audience agreed with you today. Katie, you can't. You set a date. It's in the contracts. Unless there's a physical reason having to do with the banks. Why? Pack up your stuff. It's time to go.
Oh, it's such a good reason.
Is it?
I'm really worried.
No. No, it's in the contract. We're trying to sell our house.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I hope for both of your sake, the good things happen. There's no pluses or victories in saying, I told you so, when it doesn't work out.
No, I'm just worried. I'm just worried. Things go wrong all the time during a period like this. So I'm just saying, we'll hope for the best. Mm.
Okay. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Jennifer, we have $300 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, you got it. Good luck, Jennifer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. When that door slams, he can't hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, it's McRib season starting November 1st at McDonald's. What is the name of the McDonald's character that dresses in black and white striped suit and is known for stealing burgers from others?
McBurglar?
Number two, Queen Elizabeth spoke about her late husband for the first time publicly since his passing. She reflected on memories of him and their love of Scotland. Who was Queen Elizabeth's husband?
Prince Philip.
Number three, Mark Zuckerberg lost an estimated $7 billion of his personal fortune yesterday during the Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp crash. Facebook is the third most visited website in the world. Number two is YouTube. What's number one?
Google.
Number four, Oprah Winfrey says that she only has 3 close friends, Gail King, her personal trainer, Bob Green, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's ex-wife. That's also a Kennedy. Who is that?
Maria Shriver.
And number five, William Shatner is going to space on Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin civilian flight. He is 90 years old. What travel website did William Shatner endorse? Time's up. That's okay. Let me bring Raven back in. That wasn't bad. Jennifer did pretty good.
Yo.
So Jennifer got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good, Jennifer. Let's see how I do.
Number one.
Okay.
It's McRib season starting November 1st at McDonald's.
Okay.
What is the name of the McDonald's character that dresses in a black and white striped suit and is known for stealing burgers from the others?
That's the Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar is correct.
Hamburglar.
Yeah. Number two, Queen Elizabeth spoke about her late husband for the first time publicly since his passing.
Oh, okay.
She reflected on memories of him and their love of Scotland. Who was Queen Elizabeth's husband?
Prince Philip.
Yep. Number three, Mark Zuckerberg lost an estimated $7 billion of his personal fortune yesterday during the Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp crash.
I wonder if they'll have to give Hawaii back.
Facebook is the third most visited website in the world. Number two is YouTube. What's number one?
I'm going to take a shot and just say Google.
Google is correct.
Wow.
Not even close, actually. I would think that Google, like, tripled the amount of people visited there every day over YouTube. I thought that was crazy.
It's the world's information resource.
Yep. Number four, Oprah Winfrey says that she only has 3 close friends, Gail King, her personal trainer, Bob Green, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's ex-wife that's also a Kennedy.
Hmm.
Who is that?
Isn't it Maria Shriver?
Yes.
Yes.
And number five, William Shatner is going to space on Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin civilian flight. He's 90 years old. What travel website did William Shatner endorse?
Priceline.
Yes. Jennifer, he beat you 5-3 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Jennifer, and I can't be Raven.
Enjoy that shirt, girl. Better luck next time. $400 tomorrow, Anna.
Yeah, if you think you have a question that can stump Raven, help me out. You can send that at annaandraven.com.